You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Shrekking and why is it the latest dating trend? And do you think it's messed up? Because I don't know. I know a few people that have Shreked and it's really worked out for them. Raven, can you please play the robot explaining what it is?
It's called Shrekking. Though the term derives its name from the wholesome animated film Shrek, it's anything but charming. Shrekking involves dating someone you're not attracted to in the hopes that this person will treat you better in return.
Oh, I get it. So aim down or aim low, and then they'll treat you like you're the greatest thing ever, like Princess Fiona.
100%. And I think that it's interesting because we've had a lot of conversations, my friends and I, in the past about if you're not attracted to somebody, can you still be with them?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough for me to speak about this because the minute I saw my husband, I fell in love with him. I thought he was the most handsome man in the world.
Butterflies.
All of it.
Oh, blushing cheeks.
But I will say that the six packs go away, right?
Wow. Sorry, Paul.
Well, it's just in general for long-term relationships. The hair thins, you know.
I can speak to that.
A little weight shows up in places that you didn't have before. And all that initial attraction goes away. And there has to be something deeper. And there has to be conversation. And there has to be love. So if you're not immediately attracted to somebody, do you dismiss them? And what they're saying with Shrekking is finding somebody who is not as attractive as you, they're more likely to treat you better. And I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing, is that sooner or later, you're going to become attracted to somebody's things or else you're not, right? It's not just looks, it's personality. Do they make you laugh? Do they make you feel secure? Are they loyal? Listen, there's plenty of people that I grew up with that weren't conventionally handsome or conventionally attractive. And you run into them as an adult and you're like, wow, they figured it out. They put it all together. Other things can influence that. Everybody gets to hone their look. You could take the ugly duckling and change their look completely. I mean, haven't you ever seen an 80s dating movie? They did that all the time.
Well, right. But would you want to? That's the thing. Is that would you date, Raven, would you date a woman that you felt was considerably less attractive than you?
I mean, I feel like I have.
Why?
At some points in your life, you're looking for different things. I mean, I've had a girlfriend before where people were like, are you serious? Is that you? Because it doesn't seem like you.
But why? Is it because they had a great personality? Was the reason?
Yeah, they had a good heart. They were, you know, a funny person. It was, you know, a number of different things. We met under certain circumstances. I enjoyed our time together. That's what happened.
I dated two guys that I thought that I was better looking than them.
Uh-huh.
And both of them treated me pretty badly. So I guess it didn't work out well.
Well, that's the thing is, right? You could be Shreked on the reverse of this thing, which is you're dating an ogre and you think he's going to treat you like a princess. But guess what? He's really just an ogre.
Right. Today could be a great day to buy a Powerball ticket if you are in a state that allows you to buy them. The lottery jackpot is now worth $750 million.
Ooh, good Lord.
I feel like every time we talk about the money getting this high, it's like, it's the biggest drawing in the game's history. This is actually the 10th largest drawing in the game's history. I'll still take every penny of it.
I was going to say, I mean, that would be enough for me. I mean, you won't take every penny of it. You take like 40% after taxes, but still, that'd still be enough.
If you take the lump sum payment,
okay.
If you bought a $2 ticket,
yeah,
and there were no other winners, you would walk away with $335 million.
Okay, I could make that work.
Me too.
If I had to.
Yes.
Right. I mean, I'd have to make sure that I turned off the lights when I left the room, right? The air conditioning, I'd probably keep it 71 instead of 68. But, you know, I could probably manage.
Last night, my husband said, oh, we got to stop and get Powerball tickets. And I said, okay, yeah. And we were talking about it. I go, we would book the most luxurious safari to Africa immediately.
Nice.
And you know what he said to me?
What's that?
He goes, babe, if we won that money, he goes, it's money like you wouldn't even know what to do with it. And I looked at him, I go, try me. I go, give me, I can figure it out. Give me 24 right. hours. I will find a way to spend all his money.
There was a movie decades ago where a guy inherited a bunch of money, but he had to spend a certain amount within a certain amount of time to get the big lump sum, right? And he was just throwing it at everything. And I think that it's challenging if you really try, but, you know, you could give it a good
shot. I would give it a run. Have you met me? Anyway, there's only 45 out of our 50 states that participate in the Powerball drawing, and a lot of people always ask, why don't the other five do?
Please inform me.
So Alabama and Utah are not a part of Powerball,
okay.
And they do it because of cultural and religious reasons. That's why they don't have it there.
All right, that makes sense.
In Alaska, lawmakers have never pushed hard for the lottery because most people haven't asked for it. They're like, population-wise, there hasn't been a demand.
That's interesting.
Hawaii bans all forms of gambling. And Nevada...
That's funny. I never knew that.
Nevada, they don't want competition with the casinos.
Right. They figure we've got enough.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't want more.
Yeah. You want to put a wager down on anything, come do it at one of our facilities.
Now, the top things that people say they will spend their money on if they win the lottery...
Okay.
...is paying off debt, saving and investing, and quitting their jobs. Now, I don't know if this stat is true, and I have a hard time believing it.
Go.
But it says, in America... Only 5% of lottery winners have actually quit their jobs.
That seems shocking to me.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that seems crazy to me.
You win 1 million, I guess, like, you really have to think, like, is this going to last me and my kids the rest of our lives? Probably not. But if you win, like, more than
$330 million, right, after taxes.
What?
Are you doing any investing if you've won $330 million? I mean, I wouldn't look at it as investment. If there's things I care about, I'm going to give them money. But I don't want to be tied up in business after that.
Now, Americans say if they won the lottery, the top three things they would do is buy a house, buy fancy cars, and then they would help their family financially. They're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We got to take care of our family.
Everybody's going to remember your phone number if you won the lottery.
Do you know what people actually do?
What's that?
The number one thing Australians do when they win the lottery, travel overseas.
Okay.
The number one thing you do in the UK if you win the lottery is help your loved ones financially.
Okay, what do we do here?
Pay off our mortgage.
That's it?
Yeah. Which kind of makes sense, because I could talk about my luxurious safari all I want to go see all the elephants and the tigers and the big five, but I would have to pay off my mortgage first.
Yes, of course. We can do that with a couple clicks.
Mm. Highway robbery. That's what they call it, Raven.
Okay.
Imagine how you'd feel shelling out that extra cash for a window seat just to find yourself looking at a blank wall for the whole flight. Well, that's what these lawsuits allege. Now, United and Delta are facing separate class action lawsuits about this issue.
Yep. So you go, you book your flight, and as you know, now there's a lot of add-ons.
Yeah.
So when
everything's like an add-on. It feels
exactly.
that way anyways.
Actually,
yeah.
I was just booking a flight last night, and it was the same thing. It's for the window, it's an extra $30. If you wanted the aisle, it's an extra $28.
Right.
And, you know, there's all these things. You want to bring a carry-on with you? Rip, tack on $49. So they get you. So when you pay all this extra money for a window seat, you expect to be looking outside at clouds.
Yeah.
And not have to make eye contact with anybody near you.
You want it to be beautiful, of course, right? And you've paid for this experience. You expect that experience.
And guess what? Wah-wah. United and Delta Airlines are facing these class action lawsuits because they're not warning passengers that when they book the window seat, some of them don't have a window view. It's just the wall of the plane.
Okay. You know what? Listen. Some people, they don't travel well. Other people don't care, right? They'll just show up, get on a plane, don't worry about it whatsoever. For some people, like, it's a very big deal where you're sitting. I mean, I do it for preference. I could sit on the plane anywhere if I had to, but I don't want to. But other people, it's a real problem if they can't see outside.
And part of the lawsuit is that they're saying that people like American or Alaska, those companies, they tell you. When you book online, they call it a windowless window seat.
Okay.
But United and Delta do not. So it's not fair that one company is doing it versus the other company that's not giving you the heads up. And I was looking it up, and I did some research about what are the most commonly booked seats on a plane.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, number one is the window seat. Consistently the top pick. You know, people like the views. They want to lean against the wall. They don't want to be disturbed by others.
I don't necessarily love it. I used to pick that all the time, but it was still difficult for me to fall asleep against that thing. And then when you got to get up and get down, forget it.
Aisle seats is a close second. Because people that are taller like to be able to stretch their legs and use the restroom easily or get up without disturbing others, just
That's
like
where
you
I
said.
Am now. Yeah.
Yeah. And coming in number three is the exit row seats because you get extra leg room and, you know, frequent flyers usually are able to get there for free. So okay. They like that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're not in first class, those first few rows usually tend to have a little bit more leg room. Mm-hmm. I like to be in before the wing. That's where I like to be, or to the wing, basically. If I look up a flight and it's like row 32 is left, I'm not taking that flight.
Well, the least popular seats are the middle seats, right? The last row seats, because people don't want to be next to the bathroom,
right.
And you're boarded last. And like at that point, there's nowhere to put your overhead stuff in the overhead bin. And seats that are right next to the bathroom,
yeah.
Obviously, which is usually what the last row is.
The thing about the aisle seat is you kind of got to stay awake, because if you spread out at all, right, like that, mm-hmm. that bin is going to come by, they're going to come by with the beverage cart, and they're going to knock you out.
You want to know what my weirdo thing is?
What's up?
I only like the right side of the plane. I only book seats on the right side. There's no reason why. It's just my weird OCD. And I get the row as close to available as row 13 as possible because it's my lucky number. And whenever,
okay.
and I feel like for me in my head, I know that when we're going to get on the plane, instead of checking every 5 seconds my boarding pass on my phone,
yeah.
I just know that I'm in row 13. And the kids know we're in row 13. I've never been able to sit in a window seat since I became a mother, though, because
of course
one of the
not.
Kids have claim it, and that's the end of it. And I just go wherever, usually in the middle seat, so I can stop them from fighting the entire flight.
You put a kid on each side of you?
Yes, that's what I do.
Paul is just
my husband's just who knows where on the plane.
So nice.
Living his best life with his headphones on during the third season of The Walking Dead.
Right, that guy's got it figured out.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. Young mom versus old mom. 21-year-old Millie Bobby Brown and her husband, Jake Bon Jovi. He's 23. They got married last year, and they just announced that they adopted their first daughter. Now, it shouldn't come as a surprise because she's been saying she wants to have a huge family for years, and she had said this on a podcast.
I do love kids. I grew up having a baby in the house. So for me, yeah, I do really connect with kids.
Yeah. And on top of that, she also talked about adopting.
For me, like, I don't see having your own child, you know, as really any different as in adopting. So I feel like anything's out because for me, like, my home is full of love for anyone and anything.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
She's also running a farm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They bought a farm.
She has like 60 animals
that she
takes care of.
And she's like actually working the farm from what I understand.
Yeah. It's all her dream and her goals and she's doing it. And, you know, when you're 21 years old and you've got the money and the success, you can. And the fact that she's starting her family, a lot of people were like, why didn't she wait? She just got married. She needs to. And it's interesting for me to watch it from an outside point of view because I've been a young mom.
Sure.
Not that young. I was 28 when I had my first baby, and I had been married 4 years. So I waited 4 years to have my first child. But 28 still, by today's standard, is considered to be a young mom.
Yeah. I mean, my wife was much younger than that, and there were definitely a lot of trials and tribulations she had to deal with. On the other hand, like, you know, we're running around and playing with Jaden now, and he's 20 months old.
Right.
And my wife is 43 and I'm, you know, 49. So, I mean, there's definitely some fun with
Imagine
that.
Imagine being
but there's
a grandmother
lot of
at 43 years old. You
it's
know?
Pretty wild.
Yeah. And then
And he's 27. And
your son.
And son's 27. So it's totally fine.
So Dakota, my older daughter, who I had when I was 28, is 16 years old. And my little one is 6 years old.
Yeah.
And I had her at 38. You can do the math to figure out how old I am.
Big gap.
Yeah. And there's a 10-year gap. So I was a young mom and I was an old mom.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the first time it was hard for me to get pregnant in between. We didn't think it was in the cards for us. We figured we had been blessed with Hayden, and you know what? That if that was God's plan for us, then great, you know.
Sure.
And then we were able to have Dakota, which was amazing. But at 38 years old, when they write geriatric pregnancy on the top of your folder, you're like, "What am I doing? Like, am I making a big mistake starting over so late?"
And it's a little eye opening for sure. And I mean, there's definitely some challenges with that too. I mean, there's some health things to be concerned about.
Absolutely,
but
and I had every problem that there could be.
Sure.
But there's pros and cons. So I would say the pros pros of being a young mom like Millie Bobby Brown is, one, you have energy.
Sure.
You could wake up in the middle of the night. You bounce back quicker. You can run with them. You can True. Do all those things.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're excited to do it, but you're terrified. That's the con. It's like you are afraid because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, first time.
First time.
Yeah,
I think for any new mom, there's an element of being very scared. But then when I had Dakota and I was 38, all of a sudden, I wasn't afraid anymore.
Yeah.
I knew what I was doing, but I thought I was going to die in the middle of the night feedings. 2018, I don't know how this show existed back then.
Because you're pretty tired.
Okay, I don't even know how I showed up every day between like getting up every 2 hours and then having to come in to do a show.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a rough go.
And when you're young, you don't have any money. You're broke. So, you know, you're struggling to get all the stuff that you need. And then when you're older, you kind of have figured out a little bit more. So there's a lot of pros and cons of having a baby early versus later. But the bigger question that people have about Millie Bobby Brown was, should she have gotten married when she was only 20, 21 years old?
It's pretty young.
It's coming up next. Is 21 years old too young to get married? Millie Bobby Brown and her husband, Jake Bon Jovi, who's John Bon Jovi's son, got married last year and they just adopted their first baby girl. She's 21. So married at 20, 21. And it's funny how 20, 30, 40 years ago, that wasn't a big deal.
No.
Everybody got married, you know, fresh out of high school, right after college. And, that was normal.
It started a family.
But now it's not like that anymore. Producer Julie, we were talking about this because how old are you?
I'm 24.
Do you think at 24 you're too young to get married?
I feel like I want to be married, but financially there's no way to be comfortable that way.
Well, let me tell you a secret they don't have to deal with. Let me tell you something. You'll never financially be ready to get married. That's all it comes down to. Mm. I don't know how people are always like, well, we're waiting to have more money. My husband, if I let him get away with that, we would still not be married.
I guess so.
You know?
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, you had to put him to a choice on that one. And you're right. You know, like if you're saying like, I just want to make sure that I've got this taken care of or that taken care of, there's always going to be another challenge in front of you, another obstacle. So you're either doing it or you're not doing it, kind of.
But 21 seems so young to me. And I got married at 24. I was young myself when I got married. And in retrospect, I look back and I'm like, what was my hurry? Why was I in such a rush to get married?
You had a clock.
Yeah. But it says now the average age for a first marriage in the U.S. is almost 31 for men.
Wow.
And almost 29 for women.
Okay. So it's going up.
It's definitely gone up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me, though.
Yeah, so definitely. So the question is it a good idea or not? Now, if you look at the pros and cons.
She says it makes sense to me, but imagine if you had to wait that way now. Because I know you're like in it, right?
It's getting
like,
me new.
Yeah, like, I mean, come on.
So the pros and cons of getting married early, right? According to ChatGPT, my best friend.
Yeah.
You grow old together. So you build your lives side by side. And I always say that's probably one of the benefits for my husband and I is that like, no, we started dating. I was 19 years old. Like everything in our life, everything we've earned, every milestone we've done together.
Sure.
And it kind of makes you your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side, also, it's a much higher risk of divorce. It says that couples that marry in their teens or very early 20s have significantly higher divorce rate.
Yeah. I mean, well, that would make sense, too, because in a lot of ways, I mean, at 19, 20, you know, whatever, you're still kind of forming exactly who you're going to be. You might not know all those things about yourself. Right. So if those things change, you know, you mentioned you guys walking the path together. Like if your paths diverge, right? What does that mean?
Well, they say that's one of the cons is that your identity is still forming. You don't really know who you are yet.
Sure.
But I would say that we've definitely gone different phases of ourselves, but we've just, I don't know, we did it together.
Kept it together.
I don't know if it's right or wrong, even though I did it one way. I have no idea if it's better or worse than if we had waited 10 years. You know, I don't know. I think when you get married and you make a decision like that when you're so young, you also don't know what you're doing. And I also think it has a lot to do with your parents, because if your parents, if you come from a divorced family, I think that in a lot of ways you may think, okay, well, if it doesn't work out, there's options for me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
My mom threatened me on day one that if I decided one day that I didn't want to be married, too bad.
That was it. You were going to stay married forever. Right. That's definitely a different set of circumstances. Yeah.
All right. What do you think? Is 21 years old too young to get married? 1-800-330-9999. And if you were married young, has it worked out for you? In 1956, the median age for a first marriage was 22 for men and 20 for women.
Wow.
Yep. And today, the median age is 31 for men and 29 for women.
Quite a bit has changed.
So everybody's been talking about Millie Bobby Brown because her and her husband, Jake Bon Jovi, that's Bon Jovi's son, just adopted their first daughter. But they got married last year. She was 20 years old, 21
sure.
years old.
Yeah, pretty young.
Is that too young nowadays to get married? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999.
Hey, Teresa.
No, because I was married. I wasn't even 19. My husband was 24. And this is in 1976. So next year will be 50 years.
Wow.
And my father was very concerned about it. And he said to me, oh, you think you're so mature? You know what it's going to be like to have responsibility and marriage? I said, oh, yeah. And he's ready. He has his own car. He's been working a while. He has benefits. And he said, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I like him. If you get married, just know one thing. If it doesn't work out, you don't come back here. And I started crying. I said, what do you mean? I couldn't come back home. He said, no. If you're so mature, you work things out, and then you'll have a happy life. But you've got to be ready for the responsibility. And I took that very seriously. So every up and down in our lives, we got through it.
Well, you know, when you have homelessness looming over you.
No, but I mean, to give you the fear is the first thing, right? And then the thought about that line about maturity, it's important.
Yeah.
Right? If you're mature
yeah.
enough to make a big decision like this, then you should be mature enough to work some things out, right?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't saying it to be mean. He wanted me to know this was a serious commitment.
Yeah,
right.
Heavy.
My mother wasn't that concerned because she knew that I loved him and he loved me, and she figured that it would work out.
Jason, you think 21's too young to get married?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't. I think that like, in this day and age, like, people are more aware. They're realizing what they do and don't want. And there's different cultural shifts that have happened. It's not like oh, you need to get married and have children now. People are having careers and then going after their dreams. And I think you really need to find out who you are before you hitch your wagon to somebody else and realize, wow, I wasn't fully formed. I didn't really know what I wanted. I mean, I went to college with a guy that married his sweetheart, I think at 22, 23. They were divorced within a couple of years.
Mm. Well, you know, there is a positive, though, getting married very young and then divorcing, you know, a short time after, Anna.
What is that?
Up that body count. Let's go. Come on.
But who wants that?
Elizabeth Taylor. Cher.
I don't think they wanted that. I think that's the way the cards fell. Mm. The chips fell, right?
That woman, Christine from Flipper Flop.
Okay.
Think about it.
There's been a lot of changes coming to the movie theaters. Some may say they're trying everything and seeing what sticks. Joining us, it's Daniel Loria. He's an editor at BoxOfficePro.com. Daniel, we've seen everything from the Odyssey movie going on sale a year before it actually premieres in theaters to bringing back old movies for like the anniversary of Jaws. What have you felt has been the most innovative thing that movie theaters are doing, and is it working?
I think the most innovative thing we're seeing from theaters is a real commitment in making sure that as soon as the moviegoer gets into that auditorium, that they are super happy with the value of that experience, that the screen has the best technology out there, that the seats are better than any sort of recliner they can have at home, that the concessions also have a great offering. And the value of the experience, I think, is better than ever before.
You know, what I've seen with my local theater, and I am a movie aficionado, I love to go to the theater. I never mind going by myself. But one of the things I get, like, I'm shocked, right? Like, Jaws is one thing. Okay, 50th year anniversary, huge movie. Return of the Jedi, huge movie. Sound of Music, huge movie. The 40-Year-Old Virgin, I didn't expect to see that at my theater this past week.
Well, I think that was a surprise. And that's actually tied into a special promotion that movie theaters nationwide bought into, bringing in, let's say, contemporary classics like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Trainwreck, and The Wedding Singer back to theaters over last weekend to celebrate what was called Date Night at the Movies, which was a special incentive to bring in old movies from, you know, the recent past, romantic comedies, with special two-for-one deals on, let's say, popcorn, candy, sodas, as a sort of way to liven things up in what was really a slow weekend otherwise at the movies. This is late August, which is usually a very quiet time for movie theaters.
So this whole Around the Odyssey, Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey, it sold out within an hour of going on sale at midnight. Do you think it was the novelty for a year before a movie came out that made it so popular that people wanted to do this?
So The Odyssey had its 70mm IMAX showtimes up for sale a year in advance. And that's something very specific to how many auditoriums? Not that many, to be perfectly honest. What, 20 to 30 auditoriums nationwide? So it wasn't like every showtime was out there for every theater. It was just a very specific number of theaters showing it in a very specific format.
Daniel, who's buying these collectible popcorn containers that they're selling for $1 billion?
Yeah, I never can get them at my local theater. Do I have to get online?
I'm surprised by the number of people that get so excited for these collectible items. This is really a post-pandemic artifact, where we're seeing a lot of theaters buy into the experience part of going out to the movies, right? And part of that experience is a collectible memento that reminds you of what it was like going out on opening weekend. These aren't collectibles for movies that maybe aren't huge box office hits or that take a couple of weeks for people to discover. These are opening weekend propositions for movies that have a big fan base behind them. And I think that's why we're seeing them sell so fast.
Daniel Loria is an editor at boxofficepro.com. Thank you so much, Daniel. Everybody's so mad at Cracker Barrel. Trending is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more. Raven, this is happening.
Cracker Barrel unveiling a new logo that's causing a stir, overhauling the iconic logo. Missing Uncle Herschel, the man in overalls who's been a fixture since the 1970s.
Yep.
I mean, to me, it looks almost exactly the same.
Well, except for the elderly man.
Yeah, except for the elderly man
that's sitting in the rocking chair, right? And the fact that the old country store on the bottom is gone.
Yeah.
The rebrand is part of a $700 million transformation meant to bring in younger diners. The company says only 30 of its 660 stores are getting the full makeover.
What?
And despite the new branding, the iconic rocking chairs and gift shops are here to stay.
I don't understand why everybody's mad. I get it.
You know what? I don't go to Cracker Barrel all that often. I do remember walking in there and not being familiar with what I was to expect and thinking to myself, wait a minute, is this a store or is this a restaurant?
It's both, Raven.
On the other hand... What are we so mad about? if the menu is still going to be there, if your favorite items are there, I mean, sometimes people do things, companies do things, and you don't love every bit of it.
Because they're changing something from 1977, and they're trying to modernize it, and people are saying it shouldn't be modernized, and stocks dropped 12% when they did this.
Crazy, right?
I know. Every time I've walked into a Cracker Barrel, there's been a long wait.
Yes.
And I just think to myself, this place must just rake in money. Now, I don't know. I know across the country, it's probably different on where you are.
Sure.
But I feel like everyone I've ever walked into has been a long wait and it's doing well. But they know themselves better than anything else. And I'm wondering,
would they think so?
They're going to revert. Because remember, I can only think right off the top of my head of two times there was a rebranding that did not go well.
Okay, go.
Remember Gap? Try to rebrand their famous Gap logo, and they got a lot of backlash. I'm going back like 15 years, and they changed it back.
All right.
And then remember when Tropicana changed the shape of their bottles?
Yes, I do remember that.
And they got rid of that, too. So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, well, I mean, either way, I mean, if you go there, you can still get yourself, you know, like a country fried steak, and you can have the gravy on it. Yep. So you're good.
Also trending, the birth rate has been falling in the United States. Now there's an explanation as to why.
What's that?
It's dad's fault.
Oh, great.
It's not just in the United States. It's across the world. And a Nobel Prize winner, she did a study, and what she found was that in countries where the men helped out more around the house with cleaning and took an active role in parenting, the birth rate was significantly higher. So in countries like Japan and Italy, where women are doing 3 hours of work more around the house and taking care of the kids per day, the birth rate is a lot lower than in countries like Sweden, where it's only half an hour more per day for women.
No kidding.
Yep. And
that tells you to go home and vacuum, Dad.
And they say that it's because women know. So if they know they have a partner that's not going to contribute and not as help as much as they should, they're holding off on childbearing because they don't want to take on all that additional stress and work on top of their already busy working days.
I mean, this is wild, right?
So, clean something.
Yeah, go home.
Do the laundry.
Empty the sink, right? Put on some Barry White. Take it from there.
Yeah, I guess.
I was completely humiliated and embarrassed.
I mean, all parents can relate to that feeling. It's the worst feeling. When your child breaks something in public that doesn't belong to you, oh my gosh, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, and a lot depends basically on what was happening right before. Were you paying attention? Are you going to have to pay for it? All those things.
Yeah, this mom, she was in a Jersey coffee shop when her three-year-old accidentally broke a marble table.
I hear a loud bang, and I look, and my daughter, who was trying to push the table away from her, pushed it over.
Now, you would think, like, a three-year-old accidentally knocks over one of those little marble tables that you see in a coffee shop. Like, well, what's the big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. The owner said, well, the table is almost $2,000. It's $1,600, so you can't leave until I have your license and a credit card. All she kept repeating was, our policy is you break it, you bought it.
You break it, you buy it.
If the table's really $1,600 or $2,000, then you're paying for something. I mean, I can't just let you walk out the door for $1,600.
Yeah, but how about depreciation? How many people have sat at that table?
I don't know if that's how it works. I don't know enough about furniture costs to tell you that one way or the other. But, I mean, you can't just take a $1,600 or $2,000 loss.
It's a table.
I probably wouldn't have had it out in an area where everybody could use it if it was $1,600
for
a little
table. It's like
a regular table,
like, you know, on the side in a coffee shop. My parents are restaurant people. I grew up in restaurants. I can't even imagine my father ever asking if a child broke something in one of the restaurants for him to pay for it.
But would he put one of those tables there? I don't think he would. Really?
Yeah, in some of the places. Yeah, I mean, like, it's part of doing business. But, you know, it's the worst feeling when your kid breaks something in public that doesn't belong to you because you have to, oh my gosh, I remember.
You're going to have to figure something out, right?
We were in this jewelry shop, and it was one of the jewelry shops that has a lot of inexpensive silver jewelry.
Okay.
So a lot of the teenagers go there, and I had brought my older daughter and my little one, who's at the time, I think she was about 4 years old.
Okay.
And everything is like $6 earrings, $7 necklaces, you know, like, you know, in a nice case.
And it's not
case.
For you. You don't love it. You're just there.
It's like, you know, decorative kind of jewelry, whatever. She gets, Dakota, my little one, at the time when she was four, she takes from the wall this necklace that, in all honesty, I'm not trying to be mean, was the most hideous thing I'd ever seen in my life.
You didn't love it.
Made of shells. Made of shells.
Okay.
Okay? And I don't know what came over her, but she swung it like a lasso.
Why?
And it
why would she do that?
Raven, this is
Kids
what it's like
nuts.
To be a parent.
Kids
you
are
don't
nuts.
Know. You don't know what goes through their heads in those moments. And I'm like, in slow motion, I'm like, no.
She slings it.
She slings it out of her hand.
Oh, boy.
It goes out the front door that's propped open onto the sidewalk.
Seriously?
And shatters. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I mean, you're buying that.
So, of course. So I go and I'm like, I will pay for that. And the guy was so annoyed. And it was $65, which was probably the most expensive thing in that store for the hideous shell necklace.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was like, it's fine. Don't worry. You don't have to pay for it. But I could tell he was super mad.
Yeah.
Raven, I had never bought so much cheap sterling silver jewelry in my life.
To
make up for it. Yeah. I said to my older daughter, I go, get everything. Get anything you want. I'm like, because I felt so guilty about the situation.
I mean, $65 for shells.
Oh,
wow.
It was the most ridiculous thing. But has that ever happened to you? And what did you do? Did you pay for it? What did your kid break? 1-800-330-9999. What did your child break? A mom just went viral because her three-year-old accidentally pushed away a marble table in a coffee shop, shattered it, and they made her pay $1,600. I said, you break it, you buy it.
That's why I go to a basic coffee shop if I'm ever there. Forget that. I don't want to knock over something that expensive, and I'm an adult.
1-800-330-9999. What was the embarrassing thing that your child broke? Matt.
This happened a couple weeks ago. I got 6-year-old twins chasing each other around the house. One of them knocked into a table, which caused my laptop to fall on the floor. And the one who was chasing ran over it, completely cracked the screen.
That stinks. when they drop the computer, and I don't know why that's always a thing. It's always like when they're playing crazy and it's the computer that ends up on the floor. Always, I guess my laptop is always on my couch. Every time it hits the floor, I lose my mind. I mean, you would think at this point we would put it on a table. You would do something safer with it.
I mean, I'm guessing you have a table in front of your couch. You should just put it on that table.
She'd probably knock it over there, too. I'm talking about six-year-olds.
This one has held up really good. I'm surprised. And it's, like, cracked. And, like, if I pick it up by one corner, it'll probably break in half at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the first time I dropped it on concrete. Is there anything worse?
No.
Oh, it was so bad.
Emily, how about you? What did your child break or do that cost you a ton?
So my little girl, Jen, she put her headphones inside the washer-dryer. And it broke both. And so now I have to spend $850 to get a new washer dryer.
Oh, my gosh. When you said that, I was like, how much could a new pair of headphones be? I wasn't thinking about the actual
the
washer
headphones,
dryer.
That's nothing compared to the washer dryer.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Oh.
And you can't explain that away at the warranty guy. You'd be like, hey, man, I don't know what happened. It should have lasted. They're like, well, sir, we found 3 feet of electrical wire inside.
I'm constantly yelling about the ice maker and the freezer on the refrigerator because for some reason that's a play thing that we have to play with all the time. We always have to have ice that we throw outside, whatever reason. It's only a matter of time.
Kim, what did your kids break? What happened?
My son broke my mom's electric wheelchair knob that controls it. Cost me about $2,500 for that stupid knob.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, you would think that there would be like a repair guy or somebody that knows how to handle like the switches and whatnot. Like, but that there's nothing worse than when you have a major piece of machinery and something that's so important. Obviously, this is, you know, their total, you know, ability to get around and something small and minuscule breaks on it. It's like something you desperately need, but now you can't use it because of this $9 piece of plastic that's on there.
That's it probably looked like a joystick.
Yeah.
You probably thought they were playing a video game.
Rig it up with a PlayStation controller and we'll get this ride back on the road. That's what I say.
Brian, how about you? What did your child break?
My daughter was at a birthday party. She was 7 years old. It was one of those things, like, I don't even think she was that close with this kid. It was like, oh, you got to invite everybody. And she was playing with like a, I don't know what it was, like a paper mache pig. And it broke, and the parents of the other kid just flipped out and said, that's a collector's item. Do you know the artist that made this? And I said, it was a little paper mache pig. How much could it be? They showed me the paper of authenticity or whatever it is. They wanted $3,200 for this thing. I don't even know these people. And it was like, oh, like we're happy that our daughter's making friends. And I just, after that, I thought, you're not spending time with this kid anymore.
Did you pay it?
Yeah, and I told her, you're not going to this person's house anymore.
If a child's at your house and they break something, do you call the parents and make them responsible? I would never.
Artwork is something you can't get remade anyway. So what's the money worth? It's already a loss. So
I never talk to those parents ever again.
No, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
If your child runs into an interaction like that, I'm probably same as you. I'm going to pay it, but we're never talking again.
Right.
Of course.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Progressive Commercial Insurance. It flexes to fit your business's needs. From quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options, Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Diana and Richard. Diana, first I just want to say I'm sorry for your loss.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's pretty sad. Sad time.
Okay, so do you want to explain what's going on? Go ahead.
Yeah, so our 17-year-old daughter was very close to her grandmother, my mom, and she designed a tattoo that she really wants to get to honor her. So she, you know, made an appointment at the local tattoo shop, and she just needs one of us to sign for her. And I don't think it's a big deal, but Richard is like, no way.
Richard, what's your side of things here?
Well, yeah, I am against it. She's 17 years old. I mean, she can't decide on what kind of room color she wants to paint her room. She can't decide what kind of music she likes. And this is a tattoo's permanent. I just want her to wait until she really got more understanding. She knows what she wants. She's totally fine with it. I mean, there's definitely other ways that she can honor her grandmother other than getting a tattoo.
Did she just turn 17 or is she going to be 18 soon?
She just turned 17.
Okay. All right.
Choosing the color of your room and memorializing your favorite grandparent. Very different worlds. I spent quite a bit of time with my grandmother. I got my first tattoo when I was 17. And it was something stupid. And they just weren't checking for notes or IDs, I guess, in the place that time.
I want her to graduate from high school. I want her to have a better idea what she's going to do with her life. I want her to have, like, you know, just something before she makes a decision that could affect things way down the line that she's not even aware yet. I just want her to have a little bit more direction, a little bit things a little bit more set in her life before she does something like this.
Well, I mean, she's not planning on getting it on her forehead, right?
I hope not.
Right. I'm probably a generational thing. Tattoos are far more accepted in public life at this point, hiring standards, even the military. I mean, no matter what her options are, again, unless she puts it on her hand or her forehead, you'd like her to pause and think. Slow things down. Doesn't need to be right now.
Well, that's the thing. I think it would be nice if it's right now because it's like it just happened and it's kind of part of her grieving and part of her honoring her grandmother. So I think it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And, you know, it's beautiful, honestly.
Well, I know.
Sweet.
I get it. Where does she want to get it? I don't know why that means so much to me. Mm. Do you know, Diana?
Yeah, I know. She wants to get it on her ankle.
Okay.
It's somewhat therapeutic, cathartic, giving yourself some closure and a daily reminder. And, you know, there's an ease of mind knowing that you're going to keep somebody close to you in that way. I wouldn't want it to be something that I resented my father over.
Right. But I also, when you permanently put something on your body, and I mean, whatever. We all made the same mistakes when we were young and we got some pieces that were like, oh, gosh, me and my girlfriends laugh, you know, like.
But this is her grandmother.
Right.
Different piece.
Yeah, but.
Not the same.
Is it going to be still as beautiful and meaningful in 5 years? Maybe she would want something different. 17 to get a first tattoo, especially when you're in a mourning period, that's a lot of big decisions made all at once. Let's see what the audience has to say. Would you sign for your 17-year-old child to get a tattoo?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Would you let your 17-year-old daughter get a tattoo if you had to sign for it? Would you sign? So it's going on between Richard and Diana. Mm. Their daughter, well, Diana's mom recently passed away, and she was very close to their granddaughter. And, you know, she wants to get a tattoo to memorialize her. She wants to get something on her ankle.
Her daughter does.
Yeah, her daughter does. Right. So the question is do you actually let her do it? Because Richard is very much not on board with this and is like, no, she's 17. And she just turned 17. It's not like she's close to 18.
Well, he wants her to wait. He just thinks that she might have a change of heart, change of mind, or whatever that happens over the next year. He says, you know, she can make that mistake on her own when the time comes, but we shouldn't endorse it. Mom, on the other hand, says, you know what? This is something she's asking for now. This is part of her healing process, part of her grieving process. And I feel like we're making a mistake if we don't allow her to do that at this time.
What do you think? What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Antoinette.
I'm on his side. I'm sorry. I have three children. All three of them wanted me to sign for tattoos before they turn 18. I said, absolutely not. Mm. I get it to memorial for a grandmother, but no. Now it's permanent, and guess what? 18, she wants to make that decision, then it's up to her. She can never come back and say, oh, my mother made that mistake, or my dad, you know, signed for me, and my mother signed for me. That was a mistake. No way. No. I go with him.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Would you sign for your 17-year-old child to get a tattoo, even if, like, what they want to get is sentimental? And that's exactly what's going on with Richard and Diana. Their 17-year-old daughter just turned 17, not like 17 in 7 months and she's going to be 18 soon. Just turned 17, wants to get a tattoo tribute for her grandmother, Diana's mom, that recently passed away. They were very close. Mm. And Diana thinks, like, okay, this is sweet. It's kind. It's something she wants to do. Why not?
She also thinks it's part of, you know, her process of dealing, right, after this whole thing. And Richard just says, listen, all that may be well and good, but she's a child. She lives in our house. It's our rules at this point. She doesn't need to make this decision right now. I think that she would reconsider if she was given more time for us to limit this and make her do it down the road. Might be a good idea.
Tattoos on her ankle, by the way. For some reason, that was a very important part of the puzzle for me.
For you.
I wanted to know, like, where was she going to get it? Like, I didn't want her to get it, I don't know, on her arm or something like that.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Diana.
On the wife side, same thing happened with my daughter. My mom and her were very close. She passed away. She had given her her last birthday card, signed it. She took her signature to a tattoo parlor. They copied it, and she tattooed it on her body. And I love it.
Gosh, it's a tough one, huh?
It's a savvy move to say, you know, I want this tattoo for a memoriam, right? I mean, even if that's your intent at that moment, it's savvy. My kid did it. And you know what his second tattoo was?
A dragon?
A ride to live, live to ride.
Whoa, gosh.
Harley
oh, no.
Davidson thing.
Oh, no.
I'm telling
no.
you. On his forearm.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank God he's a successful business owner.
Hi, it's Yanan Raven. Whose side are you on?
I would say I'm on the daughter's side. Either way, someone at that age, either she's going to get it done by herself, she's going to do it behind her parents' back, and they're eventually just going to have to go through with it.
Yeah.
Or they can just be on her side and just let her get it done.
And make sure she gets it done somewhere reputable.
It's not a bad point.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
hey, Peter, whose side are you on?
I am definitely on the mom's side. I think it's just completely outrageous that the dad is blocking her from getting this tattoo. I mean, it's not like the kid's going to say in, say, 5 years or something, hey, I want to get this tattoo removed. It turns out I wasn't as actually close to my grandmother as I thought. But if you just delay it a year, she's going to get it in a year anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. I don't love grandma anymore. Let me take this right off.
Right, let me get rid of this.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Diana, our audience agreed with you today. 17, it's a year. What's the difference of a year? It means a lot now. Don't hold her back, Richard. Just let her do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is right. This is good. I mean, she's really connected to her grandmother. Her grandmother just passed. It's in honor of her grandmother. It's not that big of a deal. She can always change it later, but I just think it's beautiful. Thanks so much.
I guess I can accept this. I guess we'll be, I just really hope that, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, she doesn't want to get it removed or whatever, just because I know that that can be a lot more painful than actually getting it. It's her body. She's almost an adult. I guess I can live with it.
Don't worry, Dad. You know, it won't be 10, 15 years until you have some sort of regrets on this. She's going to be 18 in no time. She's going to get her boyfriend's name that day.
Thank you. You're making this much better for me.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,600. Kim and Rick, you guys ready to play today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Are you feeling confident, like you know your stuff?
A little bit.
Oh, boy. All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, you two. $4,600.
All right. Here we go. Raven's walking out of here. We got to wait for that door to close so he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You'll have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. I would love to give you this money. Nothing would make me happier today to start the week. You ready to play?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, number one. The White House is one of the newest TikTok accounts. What does FYP stand for on TikTok?
For your protection.
Number two, the newest dating term, shrekking, means dating someone that you think is less attractive than you, so they'll treat you better. What's the name of the princess Shrek falls in love with?
Fiona.
Number three, Cracker Barrel is catching heat for trying to modernize their image and their restaurants/stores. In the original logo, an older man is sitting in a chair leaning against what?
A barrel.
Number four, 1 in 5 adults report buying Pokemon cards for themselves, though only a quarter actually play the game. Most are just collecting or investing. What energy type does Squirtle usually use?
Electricity.
Number five, the upcoming edition of Hansel and Gretel is highly anticipated because it is reimagined by Stephen King and includes the illustrations from what late famous author who also wrote Where the Wild Things Are?
Stephen King.
Okay. All right. Stephen King. Mm.
Yo.
All right. 2 out of 5.
Oh, not great. Let's see how I do. A lot of money.
Number one, the White House is one of the newest TikTok accounts. What does FYP stand for in TikTok?
Oh, For You Page.
Yes.
Yep.
Number two, the newest dating term, shrekking, means dating somebody that you think is less attractive than you, so they'll treat you better.
What's the name of the princess Shrek falls in love with?
Fiona.
Yes. You guys are tied. Number three, Cracker Barrel's catching heat for trying to modernize their image at their restaurants and stores.
I know.
In the original logo, an older man is sitting in a chair leaning against what?
It's a barrel, isn't it?
It's a barrel. Number four, one in five adults report buying Pokemon cards for themselves, though only a quarter actually play the game. Most are just collecting or investing.
Yeah, it's a smart move.
What energy type does Squirtle usually use?
I have no idea.
Water.
Oh.
Squirtle.
Good.
Water. Number five, the upcoming edition of Hansel and Gretel is highly anticipated because it is reimagined by Stephen King.
Oh, my guy.
And includes the illustrations from what late famous author who also wrote Where the Wild Things Are?
Oh, I know this, and I'm going to be so mad. I can't think of it.
Maurice Sendak.
Yeah.
So this is coming out September 2nd. I guess what happened was that Maurice Sendak had created these illustrations back for a movie that was never made many years ago.
Okay.
So they approached Stephen King, showed him the illustrations, and say, would you reimagine Hansel and Gretel based on these illustrations? He looked at it and was like, this is dark and I can do it.
I mean, it's a dark story anyway.
Yes.
It's always been a dark story.
For a fairy tale.
Yeah, scary. Yeah.
All right, so I'm sorry, Kim and Rick, he beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Anne on Raven t-shirt.
This is Kim and Rick, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you two. $4,700 tomorrow, Anna.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.